Wednesday night, where God had even said, I've cast your sins as far as the east is to the west. Would somebody please explain to me, when I start heading east, if I start heading west, when does the east and the west connect? Anybody? I can't figure it out either. So we're all the same boat.
I love you.
You'll always be going that direction. They're never going to connect. Yeah. So he said, I'm going to cast your sin as far as the east is from the west. In other words, they're gone. But the problem is that we remember them.
Yeah.
We remember them. God doesn't. He's letting it go. He said, hey, you repented over that. You asked for forgiveness over that. It's gone.
That's right.
It's gone.
It's gone.
But we remember. We bring it up. We memorialize it. We. Can I be this real? We've kneeled down and worship our problems. We worship our mistakes because we won't let them go. But God was using this as an example in Isaiah to get a point across that even for us today, that let it go, leave it behind. Don't live off those victories of yesterday, but don't try to dwell on your past, because you're never going to be able to move forward. You're never going to be able to experience something new in your life. God was not condemning them for their past. They could do nothing to change. Do you not realize that today? You could do, yeah. A lot of us would say, man, if I had it to do over again. Yeah, if you had it to do over again and could change some things, you would do it. But if you had to do it over again and live it exactly the same, no thank you. No thank you. I'm going to just be right where I'm at. Let's just keep carrying on. Huh? Because there's some stuff I don't want to relive.
Right.
I don't want to relive that heartache. I don't want to relive that pain. I don't want to go through that again.
That's right.
If I have to do it all over again and have to do it the same way, forget it. I like right where I'm at. Help me, Jesus, to move forward.
Amen. Yeah. Oh, bless the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Instead, God, he wasn't sitting there condemning them. He was holding out a hand of hope.
Oh, help me, Father God.
In effect, he was saying, forget your past. I'm giving you an opportunity to start over.
Yes.
A few chapters, flipping a few chapters ahead, in Isaiah 55, verse number 6, says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. In other words, giving us an indication that he may not always be able to be found. And so he's compelling us as individuals to seek him while he may be found. While you feel him.
Yes.
Is it called ye upon him while he is near? Some today, I know you feel God near. And it's okay to call on him. The scripture said in verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy. There's your guarantee. There's your guarantee. And he will have mercy. When I forsake my past, when I forsake my wrongdoing, when I ask for forgiveness and repent of those things of my past, he will. You've got a written guarantee in the Word. How many of us want to say, especially in this society, there ain't hardly anything that's good on a handshake anymore. Huh? You're like, no, I want that in writing, sealed in blood. Huh? Yeah. No way. You'll come back and sue me and do this and do that. And I don't want nothing to do with it. Come on, man. Let's be honest with each other. Well, he went ahead and he put it in writing. He will have mercy. He's not going to forever hold it. If, did you say the first part of the scripture was, if you forsake. So that's all I got to do. Is I got to say, no more. No more. I'm turning around. I'm not doing that. I'm not acting like that. God, forgive me. You're going to have mercy. It's in writing.
Yes, he will.
It's in writing.
Yes,
and I'm going to stand upon your contract, God.
Right.
Yes,
Let's not be arrogant.
Nope.
No.
I'm going to stand upon your contract, God. You said you're going to have mercy. I've forsaken my way. I've left it all behind me. He said, let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy and to our God. And he will abundantly pardon.
Amen.
Well, but I don't deserve this. And I don't but you know what?
Are you serious? You want to stay there? You want to stay there with that guilt on you?
No,
because you're screaming out, I don't like feeling guilty. I don't like feeling condemned.
Right.
I don't like the feelings that I feel.
No.
I want, he said, here's another part of your written guarantee. He will abundantly pardon.
Yes.
Some people, I understand, they got this ideology that, well, it's just not fair for that person to be forgiven. The fact of the matter is, it's just not fair for me to be forgiven.
Right. It's not fair. You're right. It's not fair for any of us to be forgiven.
Right.
Oh, but thank God.
Thank God.
It's not going according to my justice system. Thank God it's not going according to our legal system and our court system, because we know that there's things that are often not fair.
Right.
Right.
Huh? We know there's often things of great difficulty.
God's always fair.
Yes.
God's always fair. And then he says, get this is awesome. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so wonderful.
Yeah, where you think they ought to die because of what they did.
He said, I don't think like you think.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
awesome. Come on now. I don't think like you think. You may want to condemn them. You may want to judge them. You may want to see them punished. You may want to see them suffer. But God said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I'm not willing that any should perish. I just want them to come to repentance. I want them to get it right. That's what God wants. I want them to get right so I can bless them, so I can multiply them.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
That's a great name, Lord. I worship you.
Psalms 85 and 6 said, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Shew us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Don't go back. Don't go back. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, or honor, respect him, revere him. That glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Oh, what a beautiful thing about God's Word. What a beautiful thing about God's Word. You see, we've got a lot of folks, we've got a lot of even preachers preaching grace, 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 but not preaching truth, 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 truth. Grace is going to help you. Yes. Thank God for grace. But you need to know that truth and mercy got to work together.
Amen.
You can't just arrogantly, haphazardly do whatever you want to do and expect grace to cover. Because even God said that. God even said, are we going to, that that sin may abound?
So we continue in sin?
Grace may abound. Continue in sin that grace may abound. There we go. Are you going to continue in sin that grace may abound? Are you going to go ahead and live a sinful life willingly, knowingly, and expect grace to cover it? And then the scripture said, God forbid. God forbid. I'm going to tell you what, it takes a real man to live for God.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
It takes a real woman to live for God. This ain't no joke. I said, this ain't no joke. It takes a real man and a real woman and a real woman to live for God, because they see the error of their way and they stop. They change it. They don't continue on. Now that's really living in the realm of grace. Because I'm not continuing in sin. I want to ask you this morning, what do you see when you view your life? Do you see the possibilities? Or do you just see the problems? Do you see the victories? Do you see really what God wants to see in your life? Or do you just see all of the strain? All of the heartache? You see, when you look here in the scripture, it said, I am making a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. You have a choice, just like they did. You can continue dwelling in the past, in your problems, in your despair, or you can choose to focus on what God would like to do in your life, starting today. The scripture talks over and over again, I will not take the time, but it talks about every day being a new day, being a new opportunity. Today is a good day. Many bought into the idea, well, preacher, this is just my life. Some of you have said, well, this is just my lot. And they're willing to just stay right where they're at. But you got a preacher here today that's going to stand on your side and in your defense and say, no, that's a lie. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay in that bondage. You don't have to be held captive by sin and shame and guilt. You don't have to be held by the addictions of this world. Oh no, you don't have to. You don't have to be diseased and sick and lame. Oh yeah, one of you guys again. Oh no. Anybody in this house been healed in a miraculous way?
Yes, sir.
That there was nobody else that could have done it?
That's right.
That's right.
Come on, raise your hand.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25.
That's
25 people in this house. They ain't gonna lie to you.
No, sir.
Jesus, you are awesome.
I'm gonna tell you, God still works in the miraculous.
Yeah.
In my lifetime, not too many years ago, that I seen with my own eyes, even laid my own hands on dead people, and God raised up from the dead.
Yes,
don't tell me that God's not interested.
That's right.
Oh, that's in His Word. He said He came to raise the dead to life again.
Yes.
Oh, that's only a figure of speech. Tell those two dead people that. When Audubon woke up and she looked and she's like, oh, and guess what? She's 93 today. She died 25 years ago.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
I saw it. I'm not telling you somebody else's story. I'm telling you, I saw it. Don't call me a liar. I seen it. I experienced it.
Amen.
Another woman that no way in the world, in her late 20s, died right in the middle of church service. Boom. I mean, fell over. Boom. Dead. In the chair and then flopped on the floor. Everybody thought she just passed out. I don't mean to be gross or disgusting, but you know what happens when somebody passes away.
Yeah.
They lose their bowels.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She had done just that. Couple people that came over trying to find pulse, so on and so forth. And I'll never forget the day my pastor said, we need to pray right now. And everybody stopped everything, All the ambulance is on their way and everything. They come rolling in with the stretcher. And just about that time that they come rolling in with the stretcher, she opens her eyes. And she goes, oh my goodness. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, right.
She realized what had happened. Yeah. She was embarrassed for sure. Because now she's alive and, well, she had an accident. But she had an accident while she was dead. Not while she was alive. But God raised her to life again. I'm preaching to you today the miraculous things of God. And He wants to do them even today.
Yes, 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 sir.
I said He wants to even do them today.
Hallelujah.
Don't buy into the idea that this is just life for me. I'm going to close here in just a few moments, but I have to deliver this last little bit here. Can you stand just a few more minutes?
Come on.
I hope that you can. You may feel like your past has made your life a wilderness, even a desert. But in God, your life can become a river of life.
Yes, sir.
Amen. John 1 and 10. This has been burning on me for quite some time. This has been my prayer often. John 1 and 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. If you understand, He's talking about the Jews. He came as their Messiah, as their King, as their Savior, and they rejected Him, and religion put Jesus on the cross.
Right.
Yes.
Religion put Jesus on the cross. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were the religious leaders of that day, and religion put Jesus on the cross. And so He said, I was rejected by my own. My own didn't even receive me. This is awesome. 12. Said, but as many as received Him. This word that said to me, and that is received, it means to take, to catch, to lay hold of, to be amazed and seize. So as many as receive Him.
Come here, salvation. Start running.
Wow! Look at this! Woo!
Y'all say, you're crazy, preacher. Well, that's why you're going to come back.
Yeah.
You're going to come back just because I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Salvation came. Woo! Be amazed and see as many as received Him.
Yes, amen.
It's not some fairy deal. It's not some mamby-pamby, wimpy thing.
When it says seize, there's something I'm laying a hold of. I'm catching. Come here,
salvation. I ain't letting you go.
That's right.
I got you.
That's right.
You're mine.
Yes. Right. Hallelujah. Yes.
We got this religious idea. Don't sit down. We got this religious idea.
And Jesus comes floating in and says, oh, do you want me? Come on.
Fool you all that. No. And we have received Him. Boom!
Yes.
Man! This is awesome! I've never experienced anything like this in my life.
That's a trend.
I've got an understanding that I've never had before. I've got an experience that I've never had before. He granted you power. That power is force, capacity. capacity, competency, freedom, delegated influence, authority, gave you the right and the strength.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh yeah, sometimes you just go power. Another part says, it comes from the original Greek word is dynamo, I think it's dynamo, which comes from dynamite.
Right.
He, as many as received him, part of salvation, come on, as many as received him, to them he gave dynamite.
No, I need a little one. Come here, baby. Come here. This is my baby.
I grabbed a hold of this one, and he gave me dynamite. Oh, gave me power. Gave me strength to pick it up, to have it, to obtain it.
Amen.
Huh? You just too big. Come on. He gave me strength to become what? The scripture said, hope this is helping somebody to become. I laid hold on him, and he gave me power to become. That word become is to cause to be or generate, to come into being, to arise to be elevated upward.
Thank you, Lord.
He gave you power to become.
Thank you, Lord.
When you lay hold and you receive salvation, and you receive Jesus, and you're amazed, he's given you power. He's granting you strength to become. I'm not the same man that I used to be. Oh, no. And it's not because of an ability I've got, but because I got a hold of him. And he's given me the ability to become. More than a conqueror. He's given me power to be victorious, to be an overcomer. Oh, it's not my own strength, but I lay hold on something. I got a hold of something that's real, and I'm no longer shooting up in my veins. I'm no longer running around causing a bunch of ruckus, but I'm in the house of the Lord. His ability to become.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Luke 19 and 10 said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost.
Amen.
Now before somebody gets offended,
you're awesome.
Let me break it down. Jesus come to seek. That he's inquiring of, or he's desirous for. And the other word that I thought was interesting was plotting. Jesus is plotting. And when somebody says plotting, it's usually always in a negative, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, they're plotting. They're trying to get me. What Jesus is doing? He's plotting. How can I affect their world? How can I touch their mind? How can I give them strength? How can I work a miracle in their life?
Amen.
Yeah.
He's so desirous. He's like analyzing.
Well, yeah,
you are crazy, preacher. Yeah. I just think I see it just the way God does. He's like,
how can I make them miserable?
Ah, bingo.
Bless the name of Jesus.
Bless
the name
of Jesus. I'm
picking
on you, but I am. He said, oh, man. Ah, he zeroes in. He's got a focus. He's got an intensity. He's got a desire. He's plotting a plan to do something miraculous.
Amen.
Me? Oh, you don't understand. You just don't get it.
No, you just don't get it.
Right.
My thoughts are not your thoughts.
Right.
My ways are not your ways. And while you sit there in despondency and despair and arguing with you whether God really cares or whether God really loves you, God's making a way.
Yes, He does. Yes, He does.
There's just been way too much. A Jesus that's preaching and has some big stick just waiting to crush you over the head. There's coming a judgment day. Don't get me wrong. But it ain't today.
Right.
It ain't today. It ain't today. Today is a day of salvation.
Yeah.
He said, I came to seek and to save. That word save means deliver, protect, heal, preserve, do well unto.
I think He's got your best interest in mind.
Yes.
Huh? He came to seek and to save. He came to protect you. He came to deliver you. He came to heal you. He came to preserve your life. He came to do well unto you.
Amen.
And that word that says lost is that which is perishing, marred, or has gone astray.
Some people go, well, I'm not lost.
Is there some things perishing in your life? Are you lacking peace in your world? Are you lacking some real joy in your life? Are you lacking some direction today? Has God picked out and pulled some specific strings in your heart, in your mind, in your life? Some of us, I know that we feel our lives are marred. Man, I got some bad stuff. He said, it's all right. I got a desire. I got a plan. To deliver. To protect you. To heal you from that marred situation. From that loose and chaos that you're facing. I've got. Hear me this morning. He didn't come to watch folks flounder, fail, and even fend for themselves. It's an ideology, even in the modern Christian world, can I say that? At large, really, we depend a lot on ourselves. But I can do nothing without Him. I can't do nothing without Him. You can't do nothing without Him. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. For the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that ye might have life and have it more abundantly. Do you feel like you're living abundant life? Or are you struggling from day to day? Thoughts going back and forth in your mind, maybe even from time to time crying yourself to sleep, maybe not knowing what tomorrow may hold or the weeks to come may hold. You're fearful of the upcoming events. Maybe there's some things in your life that are coming up that are stressing you out, that are causing you anxiety, that are causing you fear, that are troubling your mind and your heart. Let me tell you.